Hello and welcome to the Serious Games Podcast, all about playful methods for interactive trainings and facilitation. Let's get started.
Welcome back to the Serious Games Podcast. And today I'm honored to have Manolo Lopez with me to talk about the Kanban Clinic, one of his favorite games. And literally, I just observed him playing and facilitating during Play 14 Luxembourg. Manolo and I, we tried to figure out when we met the first time, probably during COVID. We had a Play 14 Big One edition that was online. But Manolo is, also part of the Play 14 community. He has been a co-organizer in Barcelona, and now he's a mentor. And so many things that he could share. So first of all, let me say welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you, Julian, for inviting me to this. To your house.
Yes, wonderful. Yes, in fact, we're right here in Berlin, and
Madrid.
Yes, I didn't know if I mentioned it already. Madrid. That's where you're at home. And Madrid is also a special location on this weekend because this is where the Play 14 Madrid will happen in parallel with Play 14 Berlin. All right. Enough about Play 14. Manolo, two questions to get us started. Number one, what should our listeners know about you? And my second question is, what is your 30-second pitch for the Kanban Clinic?
Wow. The first one, Manolo. Manolo is someone is working as a agile coach, transformation. But some years ago, I discovered the power of the play or the power of the games just for learning for this moment that one thing is all the information that you give the people and the other people is that they really understand, no? And thanks to the games, the people really understand all the concepts that that we try to transmit in our training, etc. And for that I discovered this playfulness world, and a little bit crazy about that, I have to say, no? And this is Manolo. I'm trying to, every time I want to incorporate more games, more playing in my life, not just in my training or in my customer, it's just in my own life. I also now try to be more playfulness in my life. This is me.
And I know there's so many games we could talk about, and I have to share with the listeners, when we flew back, or actually we traveled back from Play 14 Luxembourg, we had the opportunity to chat. Actually, we could have recorded that, right? We had the opportunity to chat like almost an hour about the Kanban Clinic at Luxembourg Airport. So again, there's many things that we could talk about, but today we picked the Kanban Clinic because I know that you not only love to facilitate it, but you made some tweaks and you're using it very often, and I think this would be so wonderful to learn more about this this intervention. So what is your pitch? How do you explain it to someone who's never heard about the Kanban Clinic?
Kanban Clinic is a game that we use to explain Kanban. Or the principle, no? One of the main principles of Kanban is to create a pool system. And we have been educated to push our work. And with Kanban, you discover the power of when you create a pool system. So it's every time that I propose the game, is something is magic. I think there's a moment I will say stop, papam, and it's like the magicians to take the hat, and there's the rabbit from inside of the hat. It's something like that. It's something magic, and you see the eyes, how the eyes, all the people is normally open. and say, wow, it's amazing. No, this is his discovery. And proof of that is also a game that you can use for continuous improvement, also it's, I call it a Kanban game, but in fact it's a game who came from Lean. No? The origin of this game was, or the first time I see this game was in a Lean training.
Okay, so you saw it, and then do you know who? I mean, obviously, you would know who showed it to you during the Lean training. And do you know if they already tweaked it or if they have created it?
Mm-hmm. So I gave a little bit of changes about the game, and I created a Kanban trainer for the Kanban University. So I incorporate in some of my training. Because when you start to explaining the Kanban practices and you start to talk about limiting the work in progress, and in that moment the people understand, they say, "Oh, yes, do understand? Yes, so let's go to play."
Yes, so that's a question that we will get to. Okay, when to use it at the beginning and the middle or the end of your, let's say, Kanban training or other. Workshops or sessions where you want to show these principles or highlight specific principles. But let's start from the very, very beginning. What do you need to prepare? So if you decide to play, to use the Kanban clinic, what do you need to take? What does it take? What do you
take? I think it's nothing. Mm-hmm. It's very simple. Because it's something that we all the facilitators we have, no? When I say nothing is, remember the first time I saw the game, we are using just post-it and a pencil. With this, a pile of post-it and a pencil, you can play, or just paper. If you don't have post-it, you can create a card like this, and you can start playing. That's all, no? And also to have, the rules of the game, but the material just for playing is that, you know.
Yes, and you know, maybe you can ship me a picture, I can put that in the podcast, and maybe our listeners will then look at their player right now, and hopefully it shows. But I know, okay, by now you do have, like, reusable materials and templates, right? That you use where you can write with a whiteboard marker to A, reduce waste, but then also B, to probably, you know, reduce that ramp up time even more, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now I create some cards, and that was with some little bit of structure, and also I plastify them in order to reuse, and with this, with a pencil for whiteboard, you can later on you can remove, and you in that way we can to reduce the the paper that we use. But basically, the game is we are simulating a clinic, and in that clinic, we go to a clinic to have an analysis of in and block analysis. This is in that the customer or this clinic they require. No? So it's patients or if person customer is represented by a card. And the main topic or the main objective of this game is to have as maximal of customer satisfied. Satisfied means that that all the customer enter and in the clinic and they have this analysis of the urine and blood done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I understand the ticket is a card is a patient. Both tests need to happen. And what are the rules? So how do the patients get to their test and to their test results?
It's a game normally for six players. Six. And each one has a role who has not it's not recommended to chain, no? And the different roles that have in the clinic have the six people is sitting in a table, three in front and another three, no? And each one has a different role, and the role is or the design of the role or where each role is sitting is designed in order to create a little bit, I have to say, confused.
Okay. So what are the roles then?
The role, so we have in the table is represented the plan of the clinic, no?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So and in the table I create different areas that is representing the dot, for example, the analytics, the analysis of urine analysis room, the units, the block analysis room is another role. There are two roles. Another role is the doctor. The doctor is the person who is going to check the analysis. We also have someone when you arrive to a clinic, to any clinic where we used to go, there is one person at reception. This person is the one who asks you for your name or whatever. What we used to do is just instead of putting a name, just a number, patient number 1, 2, 3. And also we resisted the time at this patient arrive. No? We start with a clock at 0:00, and from that moment the clock starts to clock. And when this person is in the reception desk, write the number at the time at this patient arrive, they have to invite this patient to the waiting room. The waiting room is the main area in this table, this in the middle. This plan that no, we have a vision from the top, and this area is when the people are waiting for to be attended, to enter.
Is there also a role responsible for the waiting room?
Yes, it's a person who is in charge of the waiting room. It's a person that is like in all the clinics when you go, is someone that we call as auxiliar or Claire, that this person is the person who normally you are in a clinic and say, Julian, please, or Mr. Key, came with me to the urine analysis. So this person is the person who invites you to go to the, here again is represented just to take the card and move the card to the room where is the one of the analysts, no, the urine or the blood. Then when the person is in this room of the urine analyst, there's the analyst there, the person who takes the role of urine analyst, and he has a dice. He rolls the dice. And he, and this is a normal life of six different phases, and he had to write the number between 1 and 6, the number which is in the, who is, okay, and the dice. And Juan is writing in the card this number, he invite to the person to go back to the waiting room.
Okay. So Manolo, now we're already in the mechanics, but I want to understand. There's one more role missing, right? So we have urine analyst, we have the blood analyst, we have the doctor, we have the receptionist, we have the person calling the people from the waiting room.
Uh-huh. And we have another person, the last person who is in the street. Is helping the, is like is in the exit of the clinic when all the analysis is done, is the person who has to register the time of in the car, the time of the exit.
Gotcha. Okay. In the exit, there's another person. Okay. That's where we have the six roles sitting around the table, and they each have an area in front of them. Actually, it's, like a grid, huh? But everyone has an area in front of them. that represents their, you know, their area that they're in charge of. Now, and you said this confusion happens because it's not like, let's say, it's not streamlined, right? It's not that the entry point, the receptionist is not next to the waiting room, right? It could be that the waiting room is on the other end, and then the blood analyst is on the other end, and the exit is on the other. So it's a, you know, yeah, there's some waste
that the car has to cross.
Yes. So there's some waste going on because they have to, you know, walk. It takes lots of time. Again, even if it's represented by a cart, but still, it takes time and thoughtfulness and a way to move. Okay, got you. I come in, my number and my in time is logged. I go to the waiting room, and at one point, I will be asked to the first analysis. Let's say that's the urine, and then the specialist, the analyst, so to speak, rolls a die and puts down the number on the ticket. Then I go back
to the waiting room.
The waiting room. So what happens then?
Mm-hmm. So the person who is in charge of the waiting room, they see that one of the analysis is done. In this case, the urine. So he moves the car to the other analysis, blood analysis.
Got you.
Room.
Got you. I assume that there's only, we're in a clinic, right? So there's only one patient allowed.
Exactly.
In the analysis
only,
room, right?
Privacy
reasons. Yeah.
Exactly. You're right.
All right. And what happens at the blood analyst?
He also has another dice. He rolls the dice and writes the result of the blood analysis in the card.
Okay, wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then
the go back to the waiting room.
Okay, wonderful. What happens then?
Then the person who is in charge of the waiting room, they see that only when both analyses have been done, it's time to review for the doctor.
Okay. So we need, now it's the third station, so to speak.
Station.
We go to the doctor. Okay, gotcha.
But the doctor only check if both analyses have been done.
Okay. Good.
And now the doctor has to decide if the result of the analysis. The doctor has a secret code that I provide to the doctor, say whatever. So he decides if, for example, the urine is okay or is not okay, if the blood analysis is okay or not is okay.
And how does this secret code work?
Can I say that, or we can?
You can, because now every listener who does not want to get spoiled and they will stop and jump to, they will jump 15
let's
seconds.
Let's start forward. Saying that there are more possibilities to be wrong than to be right. So it's 1, 2, 3, and 4. The result of the dice is 1, 2, 3, and 4. The analysis has to be repeated.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay, it's 5 and 6.
Okay.
So we have more possibilities that the result is false, that is right.
And they would mark that on the card too.
The card, like,
please redo. Okay. And then obviously back to the waiting room.
Back to the waiting room. And if the urine is okay, it's wrong, has to be repeated of the blood or both.
And then back to the doctor, approval, and once approved, then we can move
the
patient can then go to the exit point where the person responsible would log the time out. And anything else that they need to log?
Just want to be sure that normally we set the same clock. So the person who is in the entrance and the person who is in the seat, they are together and they have the clock in the middle. No? Normally we use a mobile phone and the clock is there, and in that way they have the same time. No?
Wow, wonderful. So that's on the one side, the rules. Is that how you also explain it to your players? I mean, you just do an example of one patient moving, or how
Exactly. I take a card. I try to make to go for all the station, all the important. Say it's only one, as you said before, only one person in the room of analyst in the all the specialists, in the analyst and the doctor, only one person. What else? I said. Sometimes they ask me. And if blood is okay and urine is not okay, they have to repeat both. You say, no, only the one is...
Right, then needed. Okay, so you clarify a couple of questions. Again, I know your material, right? So you have a, you know, that
No, board, I have a card here.
Great. I will show that show notes or literally upload it to the podcast.
Let me check because...
And Manolo, the areas are marked with tape, right? I mean, that's as simple as that, right? You can just, you know, separate those areas on the table, right?
Exactly. With tapes. Yes. I said before the plan of the clinic, you know, I represent the plan of the clinic, and the people say, this is your deck, this is your area, your room, this is another room, and this is the in the middle, this is the waiting room. Because I will show to the camera the cards. I hope you can see this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
In English.
I know the card. Look, if you send me a picture, I will make sure that it shows up at this very moment in the podcast for every player that supports that. Manolo, what do you do if you have more than 6 participants? I mean, obviously, if you would have 12, you could do 2 tables. But how do you distribute those? Can a role be, or can a room
last,
be?
Last week, I was playing with 3 because there were... 18 people in a training, so and also depending of the amount. If for example 10 people, so I have the observers. The other people I gave then the role of observer. So there's someone who is there. And I also I learned for the first time I saw this game is very funny also to have the observers, and I give them a whiteboard, and then they write everything that they listen to the people when they are playing, and very funny because the people start playing, they start, what's stupid, that's a word or whatever, and this kind of, or someone say, I am stuck or whatever, no? And this kind of expression is very fun because later we let a lot and the people start laughing, no? This is a very special moment at the end. And also I give then the instruction that please don't say anything, especially for the time of when we make the retrospective and trying to what we should improve for the next interaction. And they say, no, please, you don't say anything by the moment, right? Because perhaps when you are outside of the, and you see this view from outside, you can see more than when the people is working in the clinic, not playing. Because I forgot something very, very, very important. The most important when you play, what do you know what it is? I say is to blind the mind of the people. And how to make that the people blind his mind and they forget about everything. What is happening in the companies is when you boss say you have to finish something or you have to reach this goal. And I say you have to make this clinic proficiency. So in order to have a benefit from that, we need to have 40 clients in 40 minutes.
Ah, okay. But we're not going to play for 40 minutes, right? How long is now a round, or how long?
I think in 4 minutes. 4 minutes, okay.
Four minutes. Okay.
Four minutes. 4 minutes. 4 minutes. 4 minutes. 4 minutes. 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Okay. 40.
Wow.
So and you still say, come on, you got to do it. And you say, another thing, they make it. You can make it. So this kind of thing, the people blow his mind, and they start to try to. So this is the most important. To repeat several times, you have to do 40. And in some time, there are people who I have more than 40. And the people start to come, they take 40, and they start with the 40 just because he want to make 40, because I say that.
Yes. Okay. So literally the, and that would then start, right? I understand the table, the six colleagues, or the six players, then observers, if needed. You do answer a couple of clarifying questions, and then there's this moment where we start the time.
And say the goal is to make 40 in
4 minutes. Okay.
In 4 minutes.
Gotcha. What happens then normally, right? So
normally.
You already mentioned 40 yes. cards, right?
Normally, when I say the people, when you say 40, you have to reach 40. When mine is empty, it's like, and the person who is in the rest, I wonder what happened in the green is the complete chaos. It's chaos. Because they were just to enter people in the clinic, no. Yes. So the person who is in the reception, they just write one card, write second, three, and you say 40, and he starts to write very very fast and just enter. So what happened?
They all end up in the waiting room, right?
Yeah, and all in the waiting room, and there's a moment that. Do not happen. The person is in charge of the waiting room. They start to see and this one and another one, and perhaps and sometimes they gave to the doctor empty card, or sometimes they gave another to the one who is in charge of the analysis, and the analysis has been already done. So this card was for the analysis, not for the one. So this kind of confusion, and after this 4 minutes, the result is that perhaps we have, I don't know if we have 40 cards, or at least 20. I remember that for the last week I played was 25 cards in the waiting room. Only two analyses done. Only two. One. What is it? And one. Was around the lead time or the time that was there in the clinic was 1 minute, and the other one was 3 minutes and 30. And was the number 10 and the number 25, for example. There was no any order also in the attention of the customer.
Okay, and these observations, is that something that I mean, again, I'm assuming maybe the players know nothing about Lean or Kanban, right? So how do you debrief that? Is that like then something that you help them to discover themselves, like? Hey, I mean, again, I'm just now making this up, but where you say, what are your observations? What do you see right now? And then please, observers, chime in. And then you start also using Kanban lingo and Lean lingo? Or when does that normally happen?
Depending on the training, no? I like to start with this game. I like to start with this game because, or perhaps I just give some tips. These are the Kanban practices, and let's go to play a little bit. No? And you realize the most important role is the person who is in the mission of this the clinic. But so I try to choose the person who I can imagine that is the person who has no idea about Lean or Kanban. Normally in a training, you first start about the, you know, with the, what is your expectation of this training, and you see more or less But I have surprise. Sometimes I have surprise.
Yes, of then, course. We're always surprised.
I remember that was there was all project managers and all know a lot about Kanban, or they told me that we know about Kanban. But there was this the secretary or the administrator of this P&O. So I decided to put this person in this, because I suppose there was the person. And she started to limit the work in progress just for the, and they said, you have to follow. And say, there was a stop. Just to, and I remember, and then when he finished, he said, okay, and what is it made? I make the opposite. I say, are you see? And I say, everyone, hello. It doesn't work. Let's try again. Let's put another person. So in that person, I put a project manager in this position. I change, and we make again. And in this person, start to do in the wrong way. So the first one was the right way, and the
incredible,
second
eh? Incredible. But again, there's a lot of things happening now because on the one hand, I mean. You know, depending on, and that does not have to be specifically around lean management or Kanban. I mean, it is, on the one hand, it seems to be like counterintuitive to not start work or to not admit a patient if they're standing in front of the clinic for their tests. But on the other hand, it's also, I mean, as you said, right, the rabbit in the hat and the eyes are open. It also makes so much sense, right? To start limiting, and players might know this implicitly, or might do this, or might strive to do it. From other contexts, and as you also said, it is also about this. I mean, you're pushing them, right? You're saying, okay, 40 in 4 minutes, right? You're trying to elicitate, or you're trying to pump them up a little bit, right? So that they most likely, tend to, follow that trap, being lured in to start more work than they can possibly deal with. But the other thing that I would love to discuss with you, maybe later, because I'm still interested a little bit in the flow and how then the next iteration works, is literally how you debrief if you change the positions and the people, right? Especially if we talk about, managing the system and half the people, obviously. But let's go with the next iteration, okay? So you made a lot of observations, okay? Wow, the waiting room is full, the lead time is long, or hey, they're way too long in the clinic, only two tests done, wrong tests, double tests. I mean, there's a lot of, things that they might have done that they did not need to do, and a lot of things that they needed to do that was not done. What happens then? I mean, how do you wrap that up, and how do you restart then for the next iteration?
Yes, I love you make this question because I discovered a pattern. So now the 90% of all the time I make this game, also I said before, not always there is a chaos in the clinic, so now let's go to make this retrospective and we'll see what happened. And I allow them just to make one chain, I always say, no? The chain has to not, nobody change roles, so everyone, there is no collaboration between them. The only collaboration has to be talking, they also can talk. They cannot have more than, they don't have to, mainly they don't have to change the roles. But the pattern is that they want to organize the waiting room. And they ask me for more tape and say, no, the problem is because everyone, so when they say, what is the problem here? What is the, and always say, no, is the problem is because the doctor, we don't know the role of the doctor, don't say no. And the problem is the person in the waiting room because he's not very well organized. So they decide to take, they ask me for tape and they say, no, the one noon, when all the passing arrive, they have you put here. And when the Udine analysis is done, it's on the left, for example, the waiting room. The Udine is on the right. And for the doctor, I try to put this area, this micro stage inside, no? This is the 90% of the improvement on the second intention. No? When I ask, what is your... And they asked me for tape to make this area okay. In the waiting room.
So a clear, you know, problem statement, the waiting room is too full. Let's optimize the waiting room, right? Okay, gotcha.
And they have a little bit improvement because at least they have some kind of control, or at least I do. But because instead of only cutters, they have piles of or cut in different areas.
Yes. And Manolo, so you just to recap, you only allow one improvement, and obviously they can talk about it. So then they have to decide, do we rearrange the rooms? Again, do we optimize the waiting room, or do we have more tape? And maybe even, you know, making it bigger would be obviously a second improvement. Does sometimes, I'm just trying to get into, and I observed you, but I'm trying to also get into the head of the players. Is it sometimes revealed what the secret code of the doctor is in terms of when it's coming back?
Sometimes they realize very soon in the first iteration, they realize that because they say when it's okay or it's not okay. And sometimes I discovered I to say to them because on the third iteration, they still ask me, and the plan is the doctor because we don't know when he says yes and we say no. And say the, so it's dependent. It's not a problem.
Right, because when they know, it still needs to go to the doctor, right? And they need to then sign off, right? That you know, to approve whatever the test results
when,
are.
When okay. They level the rule of the doctor, I say, please don't trick, don't try to make trick. So especially to the analysts, because they know that they can roll the dice twice.
Twice, yeah.
Can be, no? Or something like that, no? So
right,
but say, why? They have no sense.
Yes.
Because the target is not to arrive 40, no? The 40 is just an imaginary target for...
True. All right, Katya. So, next iteration. The goal, though, stays the same, right? You do prime them and say, okay, look, we're still aiming. I mean, now with two patients, that literally left the clinic, I mean, 40 must seem impossible, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Is that a little bit demotivating for the players?
See, and... continue with this improvement, no? For example, the third iteration, I try to say something about with improvement, no? They want to improve something more or whatever. And always there's someone that say, I have the idea. I have an idea. Why don't we reduce the amount of people entering in the clinic? So when I had that, depending on which stage, because I try to take this, I try to confuse them a little bit. Because if they discover too early, perhaps the game is broken. So perhaps I would like to do at least another iteration more, and to reveal the secret, at least that everyone agree. If there is discussion in the group, if someone, why don't we reduce and nobody say, yeah, we have to do that. If someone say another thing, I try to say, no, let's go. Just one, or I insist, just one improvement, this one or this one.
And so that's how you limit control.
To make a little bit gotcha.
Move. And you were saying, you know, the next iteration, how many rounds do you, like to play where you say, okay, we need at least three iterations. So, again,
the
rounds.
Maximum four iterations.
Four rounds.
Perhaps in the fourth, if didn't reach in the third iteration, Oh, I didn't have the solution. I give some noise. The moment say, wait a moment, I need to change the rule. I'm going to say you one improvement, try to do it. And the people say, no, this is impossible, no.
Got you. So, okay, 4 rounds, 4 minutes, that's 16 minutes of in simulation time plus debriefing, establishing the improvement. Do you time box this improvement or retrospective or the time in between the rounds? Do you time box that?
I try to time box the retrospective, but I'm very bad on that.
but what because, would you say?
Because I enjoy the discussion that they have.
I can imagine.
And I forgot about the time.
What is a good rule of thumb? I mean, would the improvement round take more than?
Well,
I mean,
could be another. Yes, could be, because if they have observables, I would like to that the people also have this moment of laughing about what they listen. And before the retrospective of the improvement they had to decide, I would like to present all the data that I have, no? If I have a time, I like to make a timeline. So imagine this is, we have, for example, 20, 25, or I said before, in the clinic, but we have finished two. So the first one entered in 10 minutes, I have this timeline and see, but I said that two have been exit, but can be sometimes in, depending of the dice, no? Sometimes at imagine 5 or 6, and they can see that the lead time or the time that the people is in the clinic can be from 2 minutes. So this is a lot of variation, no? Because this is great when they have to when they reduce the width limit, no? And also one of the effects is not just do more, but at the same time you reduce the variation, no? It's like all the people who enter the clinic exit more or less in the same order. And the lead time of all them has been reduced, no? You reduce all the variability that have in the first one. So this is another effect you can explain about whether the results or the
clinic. Wonderful. All right. So I learned though that, you know, they discover and have ideas in between those rounds, and then at one point it is over, right? And then you do explain, you share your observations and explain again principles around lead time, the variation of lead time, limiting work in progress, local optimizations, and
viability.
Push and pull, viability, right? Push
and also, pull. Is if you also start one day, for example, they have working with the reduce the WIP, they also can start working in improvement. How to improve this one? How do you improve? And perhaps this is time for changing the rules. Right? Why don't we change the position of the, or why don't we use two dice? In that way, we can explain that perhaps we can extra machine or whatever. No? And also, you can, if you want to use this game for lean. So you also have the ways, no? The amount of analysis, the brown analysis have been done, and you can see how to reduce the ways.
Right, right. Well, and again, I think it's, 32. Again, if I say 4 minutes playing, 4 minutes reflection, and of course a little bit intro and outro. But, it seems like 45 minutes well spent, because now, when you then again discuss lean principles, Kanban principles, etc. You can use the Kanban clinic as an example, and then, obviously, as a stepstone to then also transfer to the day-to-day of the learners. Yeah. So what are activities or let's say, you know, after experiencing it, after having a proper debrief on observations, maybe simulating a scenario or discussing a scenario, I should have said, what are things that your participants walk away with? I mean, what do they discover or implement or commit to maybe doing or observing, thinking differently?
Yeah, they used to say, oh, wow, this is great. I understand now. I understand that when the manager, the bosses came, you had to do this, you had to, and I had to wait. If I wait, I can have better results. I can finish my work. I can work more relaxed. You see in the feedback they gave me, like they really understand, no? Sometimes they say, oh, it's a pity that my boss has to be in this training, no? Because he has to be understood. Or my customer also is sometimes, because it's difficult to say a customer, no, he has been educated for that, no? For say always our customer, yes, yes, you have to do this. Don't worry, I already started with your job.
But I really also want to, you know, emphasize when you say, you know, I understand, you know, that for us, I must say, understanding is, I mean, it's really a deeper understanding than just obviously reading.
The one is knowledge, to have the knowledge, another one is to have the understanding.
Yes, yes. And that's something, once again, you know, with if you can elicitate that for six and more participants within 45 minutes, you know, why even try to lecture them at the first place, right? But that's maybe a different a conversation.
When I have several tables playing, I also, they have this competition, so it's also great, no? They want to beat the one, and you have to be aware that the people are trying to trick. So this is important. But I also synchronize they start at the same time, but it's the only way, no, to have and debrief all together.
Yes, yes. Great. And learn, and ultimately learn from together. Yeah. Wow. And I mean, we met during the pandemic, but can this game be played online? That's one question I must ask.
Yes, of course.
So is that, I mean, again, we need stickies and a little bit of tape, so a line on a whiteboard.
I use on a middle whiteboard. I have made the plan of the clinic there, a picture of this card, you know, have been scanned and is there, the picture. And I use, sometimes it's a day for online version, you need more time because everything is slower, no? The people have to write in the keyboard. I use, for example, one of the problems is how to move everything, no? When they write the result of the clinic, the analysis, how to move, and the, no? And the numbers you write in, no, in the top. But one is worse. So perhaps instead of 4 minutes, I give them 6 minutes.
Okay, gotcha.
But the result is the same, no? They said chaos. And,
gotcha, yeah. And I guess you already mentioned, you know, and unique experience. Any other, you know, you played it so many times. Any other, you know, things or happenings that just also amazed you?
Yeah, the only problem is the first time that in the first situation. So it's how to deal with that, no? So I try to say, try to cheat a little bit. Then they said, no, it's not okay. Not, you didn't reach the 40. So let's go for another one. He tried to see someone and to cross the finger, someone tried to do it. This is something that has happened. You can do it. Or if not, say, let's go to another way. How there are other possibilities and try to, and they see the difference, no? And this is something, but only I said before, only one time, once in all the, I don't know, 30 times I play this in with agile coaches, Kanban, trainer with a lot of people. They when you say 40, you have to, they forget about everything that
happened. Yes, wow. And just go for the 40, get to 40.
Let's go for 40.
Yes, wow. So if, I mean, I have to, you know, two questions, and then we can you know, talk about the exchanging the people and the role. But what is the secret sauce of the Kanban clinic? What really makes it such an impactful game for you?
It's simple, the simple rules. We see something that normal. We all of us sometimes we went to a clinic to have this analysis. We all know all the dynamics, so it's simple. The people understand very well, and that the power of see the when you start to play push pull, what is the difference? We okay, I know the knowledge, but now is so they realize this not this concept, no, this when they really understand. So it's that they go away, they take away, they really understand the power of that, no? The and the power and how we can work better with no so many cows, with when we have less work in progress, no? That is not the companies, no, we are design, or we are not design, we are design the companies just to have, no, the full optimization, or you know, the full employee or the people not working, no? It's just you have to the 100%, no, of the resource utilization, no, we have to. So because one of the questions that we when they say I say and you heard this, but it's not doing anything, it's not doing nothing. So and I have to wait, give me another one, no, wait, you can wait in your job. Nothing happens if you wait, because the most important is the customer, not that you are still always busy doing things. This is not important, but we have this in mind, no? That you have to be the 100% of your time busy at work. So they realize also that, no, that you can.
No,
and so this is one of the main messages.
Great. And again, you know, if I calculate everything, and if we even go online now, you know, it's like 45 to 60 minutes to be able to have such conversations based on a real experience and observation players made at that table or on that whiteboard. And that really makes it powerful. Well, thank you for sharing. Now, I was just going through my notes. Earlier, you said, you know, there was, and there might be a variation where you decide, or maybe where the team decides to switch players. Now, that's an interesting moment, right? Because the working assumption is you know, as a person, did not, again, we talked about utilization right now, but you did not do a good job, right? Or you know, the one feedback that you mentioned is like, oh, the person in the waiting room seems to be unorganized. Let's go and help them, right? It's really like, oh, the person needs assistance, or maybe even doubled up, right? One could say, oh, great, can't we just pull in an observer and then we're two people in the waiting room? And then obviously we can play out in 4 minutes how that literally affects the value created plus the lead time, whatever variation of the lead time. But what are conversations that are important, and what is important to you when we talk about exchanging players, or AKA team members, to do a better job, whatever that means?
Sometimes we said if they can help another, they should, one of the on the debrief they say, can I help the person is, because the person is very busy, the one no is very stressed, is the one who's in the waiting room, no, because the one is moving and has this car. And the people one or the player want to help him, no? And at the beginning, I didn't allow because they changed the rule. No, it's collaboration. I don't allow collaboration. No? Sometimes I decide, no, one day, yes, I, you know, and now you can collaborate and you can, or you can change role. Or this is the time, no? But my first focus is, normally is go there, no? It's go that they had to discover by themselves. That is reducing the whip. They have this amazing results, no? And I say, I always finish saying, this is like it's like dancing. At the end, it's like dancing, because when I say you have to reduce, and how many? And when I say three, and they say only three, but we are six. So with three people, they do see this, and I start talking, no? And say, and you start talking, and you start saying, for the analysis, for the doctor, and I say, and the person in the waiting list, now you have the choreography, this is an dancing, you have to try moving like din, 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 din. And I start to see the result, who is out. And one of the problems is just sometimes to stop the person in the end, and because I just like, no. It's like hands used to continue writing, because we are, no, I know, problematic for that, no? So how many years we had, you had to work, you had to be, you cannot be waiting.
Right, and again, we didn't go in detail on, you know, all your observations and conversations that could help, but obviously, all the way from, you know, what was your engagement? What was your utilization? How did you feel? When did you care about the goal most or less? Right, and was it equally distributed? I mean, you know, all of these kind of topics or conversations or then observations, I guess. I hope our listeners can then see how many you know, things you can reflect and highlight and focus on just based on this four iterations, 4 minutes, one optimization in between, and then a wonderful a debriefing. Wow, Manolo, my last question to you is, what is your ultimate facilitation tip? Now, this could be specifically for the Kanban clinic, but this could be also beyond.
Boom. Facilitation tips, I don't know, it's a difficult question. I think to be prepared, expect the best, and to be prepared for the worst. I don't know how to say. No. So it's to be able to live with the uncertainty. Yeah, you don't know what happened, you don't know what is the people who is going to react, and you have to be not so fast mind to change, and they don't realize that you are improvising in that moment, that everything is under control, because you have but also you always say, no, and not this facilitation, but never in your facilitation I made this always is okay normally, but sometimes it doesn't was like you expected or you imagine, but it's not just to be sure that change switch or whatever, and because you have always a plan B, or you have patient to do, or sometimes it's to be honest also, no, don't say it, okay, it doesn't work, let's try again, or let's this is But normally you have you have prepared something and you have this, be able to change, like I said before, if in the first iteration everything is okay, try to change. This is the most important, is to be prepared for the worst and enjoy, enjoy this. I think this facilitation is something I really love. And
yes. And that's why I think we definitely need to continue our conversation at a different point and time. We will see each other online once again, but at least we're on site in the Play 14 Madrid and Play 14 Berlin happening just right after we recorded this session. Manolo, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and for giving us this insight in this so powerful simulation. Thank you for that.
Thank you to you, Julian.
And
thank you
to and to all our listeners. There are many other episodes. I will link the sources and the events that Manolo and I mentioned. And definitely I will also make sure that you can easily reach Manolo. And until then, take care and goodbye.
You can reach us at hello@keylearning.net. We're looking forward to your suggestions, comments, and feedback.